Hey guys, we'll be covering hatching today, and it's just going to be some basic stuff that I consider when I'm working. So keep an open mind there what I'm doing. I'm not going to be covering the whole thing or what people are used to seeing in the tutorial about this, because there's just so many tutorials about hatching anyway. I'm going to cover basically what I like to do and what I don't do, and then you guys can take on from there. So let's go to my little samples here. So first thing that's important to do for hatching, and you might as well just not bother with hatching until you can do this, and that's consistency, especially consistent spacing. Consistent spacing regardless of line quality. So the best way I can describe this is just by coming in and hatching here. Of course, now that it's live, I'm going to screw up more often. But really, when you hatch, if the lines are generally the same distance and the darkness and the lightness always has a kind of consistency to it, then you're usually pretty safe here. I'm going to screw up a little bit. Of course I'm. And that's really what you want. If you're going to go for perfect straight lines, but you're going to do this, this isn't going to help you. And it's going to look weird. It's going to look like a texture. You know? It looks inconsistent, and it doesn't look like it doesn't look like a value. You know, it looks closer to speed lines or some sort of effect. And you can be pretty wobbly with what you're doing here, as long as the spacing is consistent. So first thing is first. Master consistent spacing. Once you set a spacing for what you're doing, keep it on everything. Okay, this is your spacing. Regardless of where you work, if you go work here, same spacing. If you go work in another place, same spacing. My experience is this: if you're going to do some hatching, okay, you can hatch all day long, and you can bend. Like I'm going to actually rotate my angle here. I'm going to start actually going rounded. Let's see if I can get this getting rounded like this. Okay, you can actually get some pretty wacky results. I gotta actually make this a little more consistent. As long as it's consistent, I gotta redo this part. It'll work. But if you start getting, you know, the gaps start decreasing, you know, or you start increasing and decreasing the gap size, then it becomes a problem. So to me, in my opinion, for good results, this consistent spacing thing is pretty much your base rule. Moving on from there, you'll be like, well, how do I cross hatch and blah blah blah. Let me tell you about cross hatching. I think it looks ugly. Every time I see a 90 degree cross hatch, I get little chills. It just looks like a screen door. I'm not talking about, you know, other angles. I'm talking straight up. Like, if you do this stuff here, if you go, I'm going to now go like this. This works in very rare scenario. Usually when you have very tight, so if I do very tight cross hatching, okay, and then I'm going to go cross hatch here. You know, this is when it works, and even then I don't like it. And then if you get a third one in, usually this is where I stop caring, because it gets dark enough that you know, you can't see the cross-hatching anymore. But straight up 90-degree cross-hatching, guys, man, I don't know. Maybe you guys will find someone who's really good at it, but it looks bad. It looks just, it just always looks like a weird screen door or a mark on someone's face. It never really looks like shading. So if I go back here again, I'm going to just do this the lazy way here. I'm just going to come in and erase it. Let's see if I can do this fast. I was doing this perfectly fine before I started recording, of course. And then, of course, the pressure is making me do really bad lines here. Which is weird. I stream a lot. I shouldn't have this problem, but... you know, if you erase this... you know, and if you go, you go like this. If you go at an angle that isn't 90 degree, I'm usually pretty okay with that. I think it looks fine. You know, that sort of deal, totally cool with this. But as soon as things start going like right across it at a 90 degree angle, 90 degree is this. These are at weird angles. Definitely not 90 degree. So keep an eye on that. I mean, it's a weird thing to bring up, and you know, purists or whoever the fuck is going to tell you, you know, what doesn't matter. But genuinely speaking, I've never really seen it look good, especially done lightly. So when you're learning to do this, pick a space, stick to it. Now, you're going to be like, well, what if I want to do, you know, varying levels? Yeah. My experience, if you want to crosshatch or you want to increase the crosshatching density, you go smaller, but you can't really go larger. Larger ends up looking weird, but if you go smaller, you go at halves. So if I want to add a crosshatching, I have to do it at half the size of the original. So basically, two strokes per every length. If you do something like here, I'll just go down here and I'll erase it later. If you do something like a tube, okay, I'm going to draw a very faint line so I know where I'm hatching. You know, if you go, I'm going to hatch this. I should probably hatch it all the way to the base here, and it'll make no sense. I think this tool isn't very good at cross-hatching. You want a nice, consistent line. This is a little better. I'm getting too much thick variation. I think my brush is a little wonky here. Let me see if I can find a good brush. This is a little too grainy. Maybe that's fine. Maybe this one will do good. When you're cross-hatching, you don't want your lines to wobble too much. I'm also on my tablet instead of my Cintiq, so I'm a little rusty with all this nonsense. Okay, this is pretty brutal. Let's try that again. Okay, a little better. I'm not used to having to stroke so, my strokes being so long. Anyway, as you do this, thank God I got layers here. Double or triple the consistency. But you want to kind of match what's already there. You definitely don't want to start introducing new lengths that aren't... I mean, from everything I've seen, if you want your hatches to work, you need a consistency to what you're doing. And working on... let's see if I can get this at... there you go. I think up and down strokes is where I'm at right now. You know, you want your strokes to come out at about consistent, and you want your any other versions based on the base one. So if you got this, This is based on a three. These three are based on the same width, but there's a third one, and if it won't even thicker, I have to put four in per length. So this just like this, and then there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 in total. Or no, sorry. There's this one, and then there's this one. 1, 2, 3, 4. It's a kind of weird rule, and there's no real rhyme or reason. It's just from studies I've done. It just seems to look better. So that kind of caps that. Moving on. When you want to do shadows and junk, I find that, so there's a lot of concepts on attaching where you're matching form. I find that one of the cool things to do is to take the light source, so let's say the light source is over here, okay, and then my shadow cast from the neck is here. I find it's cool to put straight lines coming in, kind of from the direction of the light. And that gives this cool, it kind of gives this feeling that the shadow, the light source, where the light source comes from. And you can do this across a bunch of vast levels of shape. So, you know, there's hatching to kind of define form, which a lot of tutorials will talk about hatching along the form, which, you know, it gives a certain look. For instance here, you know, if you're going to hatch, always hatch along the form. The problem is, of course, if you do this, everything looks kind of like weird, hatchy, faceted. You get no graphic style out of it. It just looks more like a stippled drawing. But if you want to draw shadows, you want to draw hatching as a shadow, I find this works. And then you can go over to the ear, and if you have it the same direction, you can even just change it just slightly to match the shadow a bit more. I need to increase my stabilizer, that's why. Yeah. And that's a cool stylistic thing. I mean, you could also do basket weave, and that's not related to the direction. But you can do the same thing and you'll get the same kind of feel. Man, basket weave so hard. I never do it enough. Of course, you gotta go this direction. You gotta find a new direction each stroke. And you can do the same thing. And this is kind of regardless of the direction of the light. You can do this sort of deal and give that impression. What I find most of the time, if you want a cool, simple shadow feel, you just kind of go up and down. It gives this idea that there's a stark sunlight above, and it gives this kind of cool cast shadow feel. And I always draw this line, and this line is actually kind of there to give the impression that's where the shadow cutoff is, and it gives a starker shadow appearance. So if I do the same here, I could go, you know, that sort of deal. And I kind of like that. I like that feel to what it gives. And then from a distance, it looks pretty decent. I was zoomed in there. It looked kind of bad, but whatever. If it's consistent, it'll work. If it's inconsistent, it looks like this here. Okay. If it looks like this, you'll see right away it doesn't have that same kind of feel to it. You zoom out, and it looks like it's being shadowed. It seems wonky. And it doesn't really have a kind of appearance of anything. It doesn't feel consistent. But if, oh my god, I gotta undo all that. But if it's consistent, there's a nice kind of evenness to it, and it feels more like a value. Of course, if you do it really well, it really feels kind of really uniform. Even though each stroke themselves could be kind of wonky, you know, be kind of at a, when you zoom out, all your values kind of blend in together, and then it really doesn't matter the line quality as long as you're very consistent. So here, we're back here, and I'm going to just talk about the surface. So sometimes it's good to use a surface. Here, I'm actually going to delineate a shadow line, and to make sure it actually kind of flows on the surface here. And then when I get to the top, I'm just going to go straight to show that this surface is flat. But when I'm here, I'm going to kind of just rotate a bit along the surface. And this is fine too. I think that if you keep this to a minimum, it looks better than if you go like all the way around. I don't know. I mean, everyone's a little different to what they want to have consistency in style-wise. So sometimes it's a little too high. So when you want to do like a cool shadow like that, that's neat. You do something like that. Cast shadow again. It's kind of weird because I find that when you're doing a shadow, like a shadow pool, it really doesn't matter which direction you pick as long as all your shadow pools have a consistency to them. You know, if you're going to do this shadow at this direction, and then you're going to do another shadow over here in another direction, it looks really bad. You want to just make sure everything... I mean, it's not to say you can't have different directions. You know, if this is a shadow here and there's a shadow here, this is going to be different because the concept behind this hatching is to show shadow and form. And the concept behind this hatching is to show a pool of shadow from a cast light. They're kind of like completely different concepts. I mean, they both represent... Well, you know, actually no, they don't represent the same thing because this represents both surface detail and lighting. This only represents lighting. There's nothing in here that says that with the texture. I mean, if you really wanted to get two kind of concepts in this one thing alone, let's say this is gravelly, you know, then we can do like a gravelly, you know, texture. So that in the hatching, you can actually see that there's a texture in the soil or whatever the ground is made out of. So if you really want to get the two concepts, because these lines actually express two things. They show where the shadow, where there's a light shadow presence. I'm actually not showing the whole thing. I'm kind of hinting that there's a shadow here, but I didn't draw it in yet. But I'm saying that this object is so light that even the shadow area is still kind of whitish. But these hatches actually represent two things. And here now my hatch for my shadow pool represents two things. And a lot of the time people ask me how I get my lines to look a certain way. And really, it all boils down to having my lines say more than just one thing, you know. And that's kind of the beginner stuff with lines. When you draw hair and you draw a line in the hair, is this line saying anything? Or is it just saying hair is hairy? Well, we know hair is hairy because we're looking at hair. We don't need extra lines to show that. Same thing for folds. Like, this shirt has folds in it. But, you know, if I have a shirt and then you do this in it, these lines aren't really saying anything in the shirt. You know, they're just lines for line's sake. You've got all this cool volume you can express in your lines. You can say, you know, is the shirt billowy? Anyway, this is another tutorial in itself, but basically limit your lines, make sure they say more than just one thing, I think is always the best scenario for good, strong line work. If they just say one thing, then they're just lazy lines. So finally, I'm going to talk about just how I use minimal hatching in what I do for comic work. So let's say, for instance, I want to hint at a pectoral line, but I find that the line, just using a line, is too thick and it's too stark a contrast. And you'll see a lot of comic artists, especially American comic artists, do this in a very kind of, I want to say, obnoxious way. You've seen this before. They'll do this, like, this really angry triangular hatching everywhere, which is pretty graphical. And hey, man, some people like it. Friggin' I don't. Okay, so I am going to go a subtler route. So initially when I did this, it actually kind of highlighted something cool. So I'm going to do it the original way I had. So I'm going to say, okay, I want this bicep to be kind of soft. So the line goes down here, and then I'm going to start hatching in. Hatching in the rest, so that instead of, it's kind of a soft stippling. I mean, there's other ways you can do this. You can do it like that. But I kind of want to show that. Oh, hey, the muscle there is very softly hinted at. But then I want to kind of show another concept, and then this initial hatching direction kind of conflicted with it. And that's the idea that you can hatch in kind of this weird concept of surface planes, and you can replace lines almost outrightly with hatching if you want to make a really soft version of a line without having to draw the line so thickly. So for instance here, I want to really accentuate the planarness of the top of the breast. I'll just tell you that right now it's the top of the breast. And the problem, of course, is that once I do this, which, you know, oh, hey, this looks cool, I like it. And, you know, I like this. It kind of conflicts with these lines down here. Now it feels like this is weird. This goes here and this goes here. And sometimes that works out, but at this point I'm like, you know, that's not really working for me. It kind of looks odd, so I'm going to just actually change the direction of these lines to match it. And now I've got what feels just a little more harmonious kind of line direction. Actually, the shape flows better, and it kind of tells what I want to tell better. And then if I go up here, I'm like, you know, I want to kind of show off this muscle is kind of a deltoid, and I want to show the planar shift. So these lines here aren't really, it's not really shading as much as I just want to show, I want to show this line, but I don't want to draw this line. You know, so what I do is I want to hatch in what is like a stippled version, a hatched version of that concept. That way, I can still get the concept of that line, but I just don't have to. I don't have to draw a very thick, ham-fisted version of that concept, and that allows you to kind of do a bit of leading line concept and a lot of hinting. Here you can do this. Without having to drop down really thick, obnoxious lines. See, then you have a conflict with these lines. So I'm going to try to match these lines again here, and it'll probably look better. There you go. That looks way better. You know, so sometimes things seem off, not because your hatching is wrong, but because it's conflicting with the other shapes. You know, and then, of course, if I have like a neck here, and I have a cast shadow, there's no reason I have to follow the rest of this. Now I can say, no, this is a different concept. I'm not expressing shape or the shape or form of the body. I just want to express a cast shadow here. And it's actually kind of good because it allows you to kind of break up your shapes a little better. Let's do this again. It'll kind of allow you to do, let's get this, let's see if I can get it less thick. Maybe I can get another brush. And these brushes are so grainy. Maybe I can hatch more. But you don't have to be a prisoner of a certain direction, or, you know, you don't have to go, oh, this whole thing has to be one direction. It's just what you're trying to do is ensure that, conceptually speaking, your hatching matches your hatching groups match kind of the same kind of flow, and it can move over time. I mean, here we go. If I go over here, you know, these hatch lines can curve as time goes by across this body, so that when we get down here, you know, I'm hatching in this direction. You know? And that can still work. Because it just has a sense of a unification from the direction, and it actually kind of gives a feel here. So that's the kind of stuff I'm thinking about whenever you see me hatching, is what works with what's already there. And same thing with this shadow here. I'm not selling it. I wish I could have more drawings. I could sell this better. But, you know, if I had more cast shadow bits, you know, if this character was covered by some leaves, these terrible leaves here, you know, I'd also do this new direction stuff. It was one of the few times I think, you know, I'm not big on saying Cintiq solves all your problems, but sometimes it makes a few of the jobs a little easier, and this is one of them. Because I got to use it's very hard to get this level of precision across a huge shape, you know. And now I got like a cast shadow of leaf kind of effect going on here. And you can tell it's distinctly different than what these hatches represent. And it's actually good that they're like that. Because if they match, then you'd start thinking they were part of the body, or they were some sort of shape or form element. Or it looks like a tattoo. Whatever the deal, it feels like a different entire concept. And that pretty much covers kind of what I do conceptually. Man, these videos always go on so long, and I feel like I'm talking 10 seconds. But anyway, hopefully this helps you guys, if only a little bit, to kind of undo. Don't do too much hatching. Keep it minimal. Make sure your lines do more than just say one thing. Keep a consistent flow of your lines, based over what they're conceptually doing. Are they expressing shape, form, or texture, value, or cast shadow, etc. All right, thanks, guys. Talk to you later.